Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
For it again. There it is.
Are we back?
Yeah, we're back. Okay, yeah. Cool. All right, hit me with the days of the week, as we always do here on From the Tips. What can we get excited for?
I mean, we can get excited for everything. So December 9th, we got National Christmas Card Day, because we're in the month of December. Which
I haven't written a Christmas card in God knows how long.
I've gotten two already.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is that something that you and Gina are going to do?
We are going to do that. We're actually going to do it with Vanessa, Flora, and Milo as well.
That's adorable. Are you getting those like JCPenney photos, or are you guys going to do it on your
own? We're doing it on our own, but we are all getting matching pajamas. So keep an eye out for that, because that will be getting shared. It's also National Pastry Day, which I might try to sneak into our Christmas photos. We'll see.
Pastries? Good enough.
I like pastries.
I like it.
December 10th, Dewey Decimal System Day. I don't really get it all that much, but right. I'm not a librarian, so I don't need to.
That's true.
It's also National Lager Day, so shout out to Yingling for being awesome.
The pride of PA.
I mean, pretty much all it is. December 11th, we have National Stretching Day. Not going to do that. Also, National Noodle Ring Day. Not really sure if that's SpaghettiOs or just...
Yeah, is regular would you consider a SpaghettiO a noodle ring?
I mean, it technically is it not?
I guess, but like, I don't know if I'd go and call it a noodle ring and more like a noodle circle. No, I guess noodle ring makes the most sense.
Ring and circle, I feel like, are similar.
Yeah, they're the same. They're basically the same.
December 12th, we have... This is weird because usually I'm like on Thursday right now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know. What is December 12th? December 12th is next Monday.
That's crazy.
So, like, we're just going to be stopping there. But December 12th is National Ambrosia Day. That's that alcohol, right?
Isn't that you're thinking of absinthe.
Ambrosia?
I'm pretty sure is a plant. I'm almost positive it's a plant.
Fittingly enough, it's also National Ding-a-ling Day, so shout out to me for thinking that ambrosia was an alcohol. We're going to find out real quick.
That's fantastic.
Because we are alive, so I can just figure this out. Ambrosia is the food or drink of the Greek gods.
Oh, man.
So it is a drink.
So it's a drink. Is it alcoholic, does it mention?
It is often depicted as conferring longevity or immortality upon whoever consumed it.
So where can one purchase this?
I'm not really sure.
Godly liquid. Or is it something that doesn't technically exist and is just kind of touched upon in Greek mythology?
A fungal product used
Uncle Fungus?
As food by ambrosia beetles. That's... What is
okay,
going
so
on
is it
right
a beetle
now?
Or is it a liquid?
I don't even know. I guess it depends on where you look at. Easy ambrosia salad... So you can make a salad out of it,
but
I guess.
What what are we making the salad out?
Do you see this?
No, I see
this
it.
This is what it's giving me. I have no information.
But what goes in the salad? Spend with pennies. So clearly it's cheap.
Greek juice.
Is weird because it's apparently the nectar
apparently
of the gods.
It makes you immortal.
All right, so it's... Hold on. So it's mandarin oranges, pineapple tidbits, mini marshmallows, and coconut?
It's a mixture of things?
Yeah, so I don't. Is that what we're celebrating?
No, we're celebrating the drink of the Greek gods.
That would be my assumption.
Yeah, we're celebrating the drink of the gods.
That makes the most sense to me. All right, but now that we've done that, I know it's Thursday, and basically the fantasy week is already beginning, which is super weird for us. But because of some issues with the flight plan and all that stuff for me traveling for work, we couldn't get it done on Tuesday when we were going to do it, and we didn't even do it Monday. But do you have any fantasy updates? How'd your last week of fantasy go? We never even got to talk about it.
We didn't. Actually, you know, it's crazy because apparently I'm the worst tanker in the history of fantasy football.
Are you still not tanking?
So
well
here's
right
so here's the thing. If I win this week.
Right.
And there's another guy in my division, we have the exact same record.
Right.
So if I win and he loses, I'm in the playoffs. Which is wild to me. However, my team does consist of a bunch of nobodies this week. I have Cam Akers as my starting running back because injuries and bye weeks. So the chances of me winning are slim to almost none.
Yeah, that is not how that's supposed to go.
So to give you some reference, I'm playing a guy who's 5-8.
Oh, no.
And I'm 7-6, and I'm projected to lose by 30 points.
Oh, my God.
So that's just where my team's at. So it doesn't seem like I'm going to be making the playoffs.
Clearly.
Which I guess isn't the worst thing in the world.
Which is what you were trying to do in the first place. Yeah, by that.
Just really bad at it. So that's where I'm at. We actually have football tonight. And like I said, Cam Akers is starting for me, so we'll see how that goes.
So let me guess, this is just going to give you a mediocre draft pick, is my assumption.
Well, it depends. So I'll go into the playoffs, and then there's a loser's bracket. So basically, the two worst teams have a bye week.
Right.
And then the other two teams play, the other four teams play each other, and then whoever, wins the loser's bracket basically gets the sixth pick.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, gets the first pick. I don't know how it works exactly. It's weird. So basically, I could end up anywhere from 6 to 1.
You really
it
could.
Seems like I yeah. don't I, if that's how it, I don't know. This is the first year I probably won't be making the playoffs, so I honestly have no idea how the loser's bracket works. We're gonna find out.
You didn't have to flex everything. That didn't have to. I did.
Okay, but my confusion had to be conveyed in some way, and that's the easiest way to convey it.
Look, this is my first time ever not being the best.
I might still make it, so I might not have to know. So we'll see what happens. Cam Akers got to do something for me tonight, though, and. I mean, it's a wild ride.
Wasn't there like 2 weeks ago where everybody's like, Cam Akers is back, and he's not.
Well, he is.
Is he?
Because he's a starter again. The team just sucks.
Yeah, that's... Well, like, the Rams got Baker now.
Just push that dumpster fire as far away from Carolina as possible. Just all the way across the country.
It's just way funnier to me knowing the game that we went to in Baltimore, seeing the amount of Baker Mayfield... Carolina Panthers jerseys.
It was horrible.
Just knowing that those people are out there sitting in the living room going, okay, so that was the way. Like, what do you do with that
jersey? Oh, I didn't send you this video.
What do you do with that jersey now?
I gotta show you this video.
Do you throw it out?
Earlier. No, yeah, you definitely burn it.
You have to. Oh, no.
Hit me, I'm open. That's why. Now sit down.
So, you guys obviously can't see it, but it's the scene from The Longest Yard with Brucey trying to be quarterback. And it says Baker in L.A., which is hilarious because that's basically what's going to happen. I mean, he's on his second team at this point, third team at this point. So it's not going to go well for him. Thankfully, yeah. We don't have to deal with that anymore, though.
Yeah.
But how about you? Are you in playoff contention?
I lost this last week by 2 points, and it's not looking pretty for me. If I won this week, it honestly looked promising that I could be in the battle for the fourth seed. But now we're two losses back.
It's a 4-team playoff?
It's a 4-team playoff.
That's tough.
It's hard.
Yeah, like, we got 6 teams, so...
I already told the commissioner, I was like, we got to get 2 more teams for next year. We got to extend this playoff to 6 here. I'm right on the cusp, and I'm pissed about it.
Do you guys need more players? Because I will totally play my draft.
The thing is it is the office, but damn. I think he plans on expanding, so we might be even more than 12, to be honest. But
I mean, if you need people... I'm not as good at redraft.
That's true.
But I'll be a good time.
Well, see, the thing is, like, it's not Dynasty, which is cool, but you do get to keep 3 players. Now, I don't know what happens.
Keeper League, okay.
Yeah, keep 3. I don't know exactly what happens after you keep the first 3, and then the next season happens. Do you still get to keep those 3? Because I know going into this year, you can't keep your first 3 picks.
It's usually you keep those players for, like, a certain amount of time.
Okay, so, like, you can only have that player in the team for, like, 4 seasons?
For, like, 3 or 4 seasons, and then you don't have to keep them anymore after that?
All right.
I think. I've never done a keeper league, so honestly I have no idea.
I figure it's the same, almost the same as the... Dynasty.
Well, Dynasty, you keep them as long as you want.
That's true.
There's a waiver wire, like, and, like, all that stuff, so...
Yeah.
That's why I like Dynasty, but...
Well, yeah, I want to be in the Dynasty League.
So you're on the list, don't worry.
I know, but I'm like fourth down.
Third. Second or third?
I'll take third. I don't know. Third's fine. I just know I'm not the next up. Which is, well, it's fine. I can just take out Zach Weed's kneecaps and he can't do fantasy anymore.
There you go.
See, easy peasy lemon squeezy. I'm coming for you, Zach Weed. Coming for you. All right, but we are a golf podcast, so how about we do talk some golf now? Basically, the PGA Tour, as it is at a standstill for till the first weekend in January. So there's no PGA Tour events. However, that only impacts the FedEx Cup playoffs as far as that's concerned. Mm-hmm. What's even more impactful about December is the amount of Tiger golf we're going to be able to watch this weekend. I believe this Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, at 6 p.m. on TNT.
Oh, the match
is going to be the match between Tiger and Rory, and then Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth. That is going to be some of the most must-watch golf, probably since Tiger won the match. No, probably since the Ryder Cup.
That's fair.
Since the Ryder Cup, it's probably going to be the most exciting golf to watch. And it's just funny to me that JT and Jordan Spieth are going to be partnered again together, which is why some of the Ryder Cup footage was so fun to watch. As the match, right? Because when the match came out the first go around, you were pretty much partnered with Tiger and Phil.
Yeah.
Then everything happened with the LIV Tour.
Now Phil is
Phil is completely off the chart. We will be talking about Phil coming up here in this episode, I think. But with all that being brought into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
No more Phil.
Yeah.
Do you think that the match kind of goes by the wayside, especially including because of what Rory and Tiger are doing with the new Tomorrow Sports thing, you know?
Yeah. I think it definitely starts to fall off slightly. I don't know. It's tough because it's always for charity.
Right.
So it's not like they're just doing it for fun. It's always charity involved. So in that aspect, I can see it lasting for a little bit. The problem is you have to get more must-watch people to keep going, and I just don't know if you have that.
Right.
Because as much as Scottie Scheffler is a household name and anybody who knows golf, like, if you go outside of the golf world, not many people would be able to tell you who Scottie Scheffler is.
Right.
But everybody in, like, any sort of sports area, if you were like, hey, who's Rory McIlroy? They'd be like, oh, he's a professional golfer.
Right.
So, you gotta get more household names in order, I think, to keep it going. And I think the best way they can do that is to just keep integrating other sports players.
Right.
Like how they had Josh Allen, Tom Brady. Like,
yeah, and they had, like, Aaron Rodgers on the
board. Exactly. Yeah. So, I think that's the best way for them to keep it going. Just golfers is gonna be tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with just golfers because there's only so deep of a pool to go to before you start getting into, like, the Billy Horschels of the tour, and everybody's like,
yeah,
if I really want to watch him golf, I'll just watch on the weekends.
Exactly.
I don't need this whole event to happen.
Exactly.
But I think that's why the match kind of, this might be its last hurrah because of the Tomorrow Sports thing. Just because I feel like all the guys that they would get for the match is probably already going to be doing that in December, January, February, in, like, the winter months.
True.
When they're planning on doing that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is funny to me that they just seem to keep going back to the same four guys. And this is another thing I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the equation of basically Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, and thank God Jordan Spieth got good again.
Yeah.
Do you think that combo of four guys, can they keep riding that? It basically is what I'm asking you. Like, can they keep just riding those four horses until their legs fall off?
They definitely can keep riding them until their legs fall off.
For sure,
it's just when.
Yeah.
When their legs fall off. And I think it's sooner rather than later, to be completely honest.
Right.
I think a lot of people are infatuated with the idea of Tomorrow Sports, and those that aren't infatuated with that are infatuated with the idea of the LIV Tour.
Right.
For whatever their own reasons are, whether that's good or bad is obviously not for us to judge.
Right.
But I think it kind of sucks for the PGA Tour in a way, because they're already kind of the third thing in the news at this point.
Oh,
because Tomorrow Sports is obviously Tiger and Rory. Everyone's paying attention to that.
Not the just Tiger Moore, but we also talked about in former episodes about the rest of, like,
just all the other people that are involved in that. And then after that, we have the LIV Tour, who is still making waves, even after being around for a year already. Like, they're still making waves. They're still making news. Way more headlines than the PGA Tour is making just because of how new and interesting they are.
Right.
So the PGA Tour is already third. And then you keep throwing stuff like this out there. It just doesn't necessarily seem like it's something that's going to last very long.
Sure. And I totally agree with you. But I do think that, like, you have to thank the match for doing what it did, like, during COVID. Because I think, like, that kind of... When that happened, it got people thinking, what more could you do with golf? Like, if we can promote this and actually make money off of this kind of concept,
yeah,
we could probably do that elsewhere. And I think that could be the reason that Tomorrow Sports is a thing. You could argue it could be a reason that Live Golf happened.
Yeah.
But I really think that it might go unrecognized in, like, golf history and stuff like that. But I think... when you look at the greater scope of things at the time it happened during, like, the thick of COVID, what it was doing, what it was trying to do, and how good it was done, I think you see a drastic change in, like, to the next chapter of golf. Yeah. Like, now the PGA Tour is doing new things.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you have Live Golf and you have Tomorrow Sports, which we don't know what that looks like yet, but we're going to find out. You have... kind of this new idea of what you can do as far as monetizing professional golf and, you know, watching the sport at a professional level. I think the match has to be congratulated for that, because I think they actually did a pretty good job.
Yeah, they definitely did.
And I was just thinking about that the other day. I was like, I think that they deserve some more credit than they receive most of the time.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that the match was huge with during it was live betting. And the PGA Tour, like I said, is starting to do some new things. Here we go. This was an article from Monday. Apparently, there's going to be on-site betting on its way to the PGA Tour. This is an article on ESPN done by Josh Weinfuss. The PGA Tour and DraftKings held a groundbreaking ceremony Monday at TPC Scottsdale. People's Open. Site of the Waste Management Phoenix Open, on the first sportsbook to be located at a tournament venue. Of course, you put the first, like, basically live sports betting casino at the Waste Management.
I mean,
it makes the most sense.
It's poetic. I mean, it really is. We talk so all poetic. The time about how the PGA Tour fucks so many things up, and how every once in a while they get one right. And this is just one of those times where they crushed it.
Amazing.
The best. Amazing. Like, if they tried to do that at any other tournament, and obviously it hasn't happened yet, so we have no idea what's going to happen. But you're literally just taking a bunch of drunk college students who have extra income, except for the fact that they're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Right.
Because they don't care about that while they're in college.
No.
But they have all this disposable income at this event that is already a huge party. People love sports betting because they think they know everything. And you're putting it right there. It's about as perfect as you could get. And I was just talking literally a minute ago about how the PGA Tour is third on the pecking order at this point.
Yep.
And if you want to stay relevant, this is the way to do it.
It is.
I mean, you got to try to attract as much attention as possible, and nothing is going to attract attention more than a bunch of drunk college kids posting on the internet about how they get to bet at this golf tournament.
Because I follow, not that I necessarily follow, but I wound up on sports betting TikTok, big shock. but there's this one guy called Mikey the Over, basically. Okay. He bets the over.
Bets the over, for sure.
Because life's too short to bet. But he was talking about this on his TikTok. He was like, I don't watch golf. But I'll tell you what, when the Waste Management Open happens, I'm going to Arizona State and I'm betting there. And it's because, you said it perfectly, this is a time where the PGA Tour didn't do the whole take a step forward, take two steps back, 2 days later thing.
Yeah.
They did this and they didn't do anything stupid. And it's been a couple of days. It's been since Monday. This episode, for those of you that aren't watching the early version here, the episode's going to drop Friday. That's a whole 4 days where the PGA Tour didn't fuck up.
Which there still is time.
There's plenty of time.
I mean, there's plenty of time for them to fuck something up.
From the Friday to the Monday that our next episode is going to be, something wild is going to happen. Something not's going to happen. They're going to be like, oh, yes, we put all of our shares as a tour into Tomorrow Sports. The PGA Tour no longer exists. And it's like, okay. Hold on. Whoa. Oh, but also, and I don't know if you noticed this with the new PGA Tour app. Did you say that they changed it with an update? Like how it looks? It is way more seamless and user-friendly now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I always liked it. I mostly just use it for the schedule.
Okay, so it looks like it hasn't updated for you yet.
Oh, okay.
When you get the update, though, like it updated for me like earlier this week, it is a nice look. So clearly they actually went to somebody that knows how to build apps, which I'm assuming would be the youths. They clearly went to somebody for that. They're doing this whole sports betting thing, which they know is huge on college campuses. People bet on sports in college all the time, which makes no sense because you want to talk about a time in your life when you have no money at all. But I guess the allure is with little money, make big money because you know about sports.
Yeah, you just make a 12-team parlay and...
Yeah, and then you make a mil.
It's that easy. That easy. I've done it 12 times already.
Yeah, exactly. I actually have been lying to everybody. I am filthy rich.
I'm actually filthy rich. I have a yacht.
I just don't like to flaunt it, you know? I live in Crystal Township.
I'd rather flaunt my fantasy.
Yes. But super cool that the PGA Tour decided that this is the path that they want to take because... When it comes to, like, having live sports betting, it doesn't always work with some sports specifically, like, at the Wells Fargo Center, they have, like, a Betts River Casino all the way upstairs for Sixers and Flyers games. To me, that just doesn't work, because when you are in a stadium venue watching a sport, whether it's basketball or hockey or indoor lacrosse, you usually want to watch the action. You don't want to be upstairs making bets. The thing about golf is you don't have to watch everybody's every single shot.
Uh-huh. There's plenty of time in between shots, too.
Exactly. There's plenty of time between shots. And think about when you and I and all of our friends went to the BMW Championship, what was that, a year ago?
Yeah.
We were following Brooks for a little while there, but, like, we didn't watch his whole 18.
Yeah.
You know, we caught up to him, I think, on, like, 10 and then followed him the rest of the way and then stopped at 18 and stopped over here and went and got food, went to the bar, went to the bathroom. You're all over the place. Yep. You're not watching every shot anyways. So say right next to the bar is the sports book. That's insane.
Yeah, for golf you're there.
It's perfect. It's one of those sports where it is actually perfect to have this be a thing. So that's a super big deal. Another big deal, since we were talking about Tiger already and all that jazz. According to the New York Post, and this is another article that came out on Monday. Clearly, you can see when I started doing research for this episode. But apparently, Pat Perez's wife has kind of fired some shots at Tiger about his car crash injury. First of all, before I even read the quote, what's your immediate, just like, take that information in and just immediate reaction to Pat Perez's wife takes shots at Tiger?
I gotta just, like... It makes me wonder, like, if Pat Perez is, like, behind the scenes is, like, yelling at her. Because I feel like she's just a problem.
She has to be, man.
Since he went to the Live Tour. I feel like she's just been such a problem. Like, I feel like she, like, every week we have a comment about her shit talking something on the PGA Tour.
And she's almost right there with, remember when we first started the podcast and Patrick Reed's wife was going on Twitter? Almost the same thing.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
So here are the comments that she said. Obviously, she was reacting to Tiger's comments, and I'll refill you guys on what he said. He said, "I can hit golf balls. It's the walking that just hurts. The goal is to play just the major championships and maybe one or two more. I mean, that's physically all I can do. I don't have much left in this leg. So gear up for the biggest ones, and hopefully lightning catches in a bottle, and hopefully I'm there for a chance to win, and hopefully I remember how to do that." You know, when we were talking about, you know, Tiger withdrawing from the Hero.
Yeah.
Obviously, we knew it was because of his leg health. He said, I can hit whatever golf shot you want, I just can't walk, right? Yeah. Here's what Ashley Perez, Pat Perez, who is now on the Live Tour's wife, here's what she said. Quote, literally, why driving under the influence is illegal. I don't feel bad for him. Thank God he didn't kill anyone. See ya. Here's the problem. He wasn't, like, drunk. He wasn't on purposefully high. He was on painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, in college, especially when we were playing rugby, I lived off multiple ibuprofens a day. Now, I don't know what painkillers he was on. I'm assuming he wasn't taking the little orange.
I think he was on a little
orange. He was on the little orange guys from Walmart.
Yeah.
And, like, I hear what you're saying. I do. However, when they did the toxicology report on Tiger, it came back that there was nothing that would have impaired him enough for him to get a DUI, which is why he did not
get a DUI.
He
was going too fast around a turn.
In a city that he doesn't drive in.
That's it. That's it. I mean, it's one of those sticky situations because people feel certain ways about Tiger.
Right,
and again,
right.
They're entitled to their opinion, whatever. Yeah. I just don't understand where she feels like she can get off making these kind of comments. Like,
it makes no sense.
Also, you're telling me Pat Perez has never driven drunk?
Yeah. He's drunk
all the time.
He's
drunk all the time.
Not only does that man drink all the time, but I'm also pretty sure he's half high all the time. Like, you're telling me your husband has never done this? I need some receipts.
You could not convince me, no matter how long it took. You could not convince me that Pat Perez has never driven drunk.
Absolutely not. Like, I refuse to believe that Pat Perez has ever, or has never been under the influence of behind a wheel.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe it. So, I feel like maybe this person, Ashley Perez, should not be the one taking the tax at Tiger on this one. Maybe sit this one out.
I mean, just in general.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't be taking shots because
we look at
the career of Tiger Woods,
right,
who, whether you like him or not, is the greatest golfer of all time.
Of course.
And we look at the career of one Pat Perez,
right,
who is sponsored by Nike.
Yes.
And that's literally his only thing.
Correct.
Doesn't win tournaments.
Nope.
No one knows who he is unless you're in the golf sphere.
That is correct.
Literally just likes Jordans and has a lot of Jordans. That's it.
He's got a lot of Jordans, man.
And you suck at golf enough that you went to the LIV Tour.
He did do that.
Why, like, I just don't understand.
It doesn't make sense just because, A, of who the golfer is, and B, remember a while back when, you know, Barstool was doing their stuff with Pat Perez there.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about Tiger and being like, yeah, I played with Tiger
pretty
much in all time growth. They're the same age, you know?
Yeah.
And he seemed like he was like, yeah, I have the utmost respect for Tiger. Like, he's just Tiger, and I'm never going to catch up to that, and that's totally fine with him. Why, like, I hope he said something to his wife, and he was like, maybe, just maybe, we don't do that again.
Yeah.
But I don't believe there was any apology or any redactment of the statement, at least after those comments, the article's pretty much over. Yeah, it says here Tiger Woods was not accused of a DUI after the wreck, and it's like what exactly are we doing here? You know. Also,
how does that relate to him driving a golf cart?
Yeah,
literally everyone on the golf course drives under the influence. If we're considering driving a golf cart,
right.
Because
right.
Everybody drinks while they're on the course,
right.
And if that's where you're making the connection, still out of pocket, but like.
I think she was just saying that she doesn't feel bad for him about his injury, and we're not saying to feel bad. You know, we're not like, hey.
Is that her?
That is her.
Take back everything I said.
That's it? Take back everything I said.
Tiger's a horrible person!
And fuck Tiger! Well, here's the thing, right? And you really have to kind of take a step back when it comes to the wives and girlfriends of these golfers. It's like, there are, you know, wives and girlfriends of all sorts in all different sports. And they seem to not... like, obviously, Patrick Mahomes' wife, that's but the majority of wives and girlfriends in professional sports don't always take to social media with their opinions because they know it could backfire on their significant other. What's going on with the significant others in golf? Can we talk about this? Why do we keep taking to social media? What are you doing?
What's with the drama? Save the drama for your llama.
Save the drama for your llama, folks. Also, it says here at the end of this, apparently in September, and this I did not know, Ashley Perez took pot shot at Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, and their significant others, saying that their trip to wine country in Napa looked boring.
What, did you, like, watch their entire trip? How do you know? Like, they probably post... How does that make sense? Like, you post, they post pictures. How do you tell that it's boring from that? I don't understand.
I really hope that they were just like laying in bed at night, and you know how like when you lay in bed, you're just scrolling social media, right? I hope that like Pat Perez is like going through his Snap stories and like just saw stories, and she just looks over his shoulder and goes, "That looks boring." They, I'm gonna tweet about it.
What? Yeah, I don't.
That's so insane.
I mean, we used to be big Pat Perez guys, but I don't know. Your significant other can change a lot of people's opinions about you, and I feel like that's where I'm at right now.
That's really true. I mean, that's nuts. Yeah. And especially like, I just really feel like that's out of your realm to be speaking on there with who you were married to.
Yeah. Right? Well, and the other thing too is, if you want to make a comment about Tiger, about him golfing,
right?
That's fine. Because we're in the golf sphere. Why are you commenting on people's personal vacations? Who cares?
Why?
What I find boring, you might not find boring. I know that's not true because we have similar interests. Yeah. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's people out there where I go to Disney a lot, and people judge me for that.
Yeah, and not everybody likes Disney.
I find it fun every time I go. People are like, "Why? How are you not bored?"
Rick, your vacation to Disney looked boring. I am going to tweet about it. Well, actually, I'm really happy you brought up Disney because that's a perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about next, which is your Disney trip where you got to golf at one of the Disney golf courses. Now, did you do 18 or did you do 9?
So, it wasn't actually a Disney trip. Okay. We were on a cruise.
In the water.
So, we went on a cruise, Gina and I did, to Mexico this past week, which was awesome. Haven't been on a cruise in a few years and was glad to get back there. So we went to Mexico, did the whole Mexico thing, had too much tequila, you know how it is. And then on our way back, we got a flight at like 8:30 on the way home.
P.M.?
Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. So it was like we had all day.
Right.
So, yeah. And we had a rental car, so we went to Disney and we played 9 holes with her friend Abner that she made while she was down at the college program. Yeah. It was his first time golfing ever. He's never never golfed. So, I mean, it was fun. We had a good time. He obviously didn't really know what he was doing. But he looked like he had a good time. We all had a good time. It was a little bit expensive, but that's Disney, so what do you want? We actually golfed at their Palm golf course, which is my favorite of the courses they have there. So that was fun. We did do 9 holes.
How many courses do they have?
They have 4.
Holy.
So they have Palm, Magnolia... and I don't remember the other two for some reason right now off the top
Ambrosia.
Of my head.
Ambrosia.
But yeah, the I think it was Magnolia actually used to host a PGA Tour event.
Oh!
So
was it all, like, did the PGA Tour event happen and they were like, this is a Disney course, or did Disney buy the course after the fact?
No, like, it was planned at the Disney. That's like cool. It happened for like a long time. Like Tiger won there a few times. Like Jack won there.
Were the bunkers the ones that look
the
like
Mickey ones? Mickey? I don't know. I think the course they played on does have that. Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Actually.
So I wish they brought it back. I think it would be awesome.
I think it would be really cool.
But yeah, so we played 9 there. I haven't golfed since like June because of the move and everything. And I shot a 43 on 9.
And this is what I was going to talk about. This is what I wanted to bring it up because I, on the other hand, I haven't golfed in. Well, up until recently, I hadn't golfed in about 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we had very different experiences. And that's kind of what I wanted to kind of finish up the episode talking about. Because I think every amateur golfer can attest to this. If you don't golf for a while, and even if you do golf all the time, there's sometimes it just, you don't know what you're going to get the next time you hit the tee box.
Yeah.
And so for you, you were playing great as far as like not golfing for like almost 8-9 months, something like that.
I don't know about that. More like 6.
More like 6? Okay. Yeah. But like not golfing for 6 months, like that's a long period of time, mm-hmm. right? But you shooting under a 50 in 9 is awesome.
Yeah.
For that kind of break. So what for you was it? Did you just, was it just because you really weren't looking at your score or you just kind of were like, I know that I can make these golf shots? Or was it just because maybe you just weren't even thinking about the golf, you're thinking about what you were doing with your friends?
I think it was a combination, actually, of a lot of that. We were there, like I said, with Gina's friend Abner, never golfed before. So, for me, it was more about just making sure that he was having a good time golfing, because that's how you get people into golf, is course, you make sure they have a good time while they're out there for their first time, and then they come back.
Their score could be complete ass.
You don't even keep score your first time out.
You don't know about
So, I was more focused on that than I was my own game. I always play better when I'm just loose, and honestly, I always play better when Gina's out there too. Just right. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, yeah, I just do.
It's helpful.
And I mean, maybe the biggest factor was the best part about Disney, as far as their golf is concerned, when you rent clubs through them.
Oh right,
you get a sleeve. You get a sleeve of golf balls.
Nice,
TaylorMade.
Love that.
And the golf clubs that they rent to you are Sin 2s.
What? Okay. What? Hold on.
That may or may not have played a slight role.
What you're telling me is I was going to go on this big thing about how, you know, you can always, you can make it back. You don't, it's not always going to suck when you get back out there. You were playing with Sim 2s?
I might rent clubs when we go for the golf.
I think if I get you on my team, you should. Okay, let's just do that.
Sim 2, everything. Irons, driver, everything.
As team Disney going into this golf trip, everyone's renting clubs. Do not bother bringing your clubs with you. We're all using the Sim 2s.
Yours aren't better, I promise.
Guarantee you yours aren't better. Trust me, except for maybe Uncle Ralph, because he has the PXGs. Those are nice.
Oh, those are
nice. Those are nice. I think he has PXGs, but... yeah, so obviously Sim 2s aside.
Yeah.
So for you, it was more like everything kind of around it kind of took the pressure off you having another good score or even thinking about that for when you were playing 9. For me, and this isn't ever, like, I've never really had like a problem. I love to golf with Mr. Murray, Ellie's dad, and I love to golf with her brother John.
Mm-hmm.
Love golfing with the two of them, right? For whatever reason, We were doing a scramble, so a three-man scramble, and I was leading off because, you know, I don't hit the ball very far, but usually I'm pretty consistent at finding grass.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, I could not get off the tee box. Now, I can make a litany of excuses, but I won't because I was just playing poorly. However, here's the thing. At the end, pretty much on the 17th hole,
mm-hmm.
I finally hit one good drive and turned everything around because we ended up playing like 23 holes because the shotgun started on 9.
Okay.
And then the back 9 for us was 1 shotgun started on 10.
Yeah.
The back half was 1-9. So at that point, we're like, let's just play in. No one's coming out to get us. It's the winter.
Yeah.
After that, like after like score wasn't even on the books and it really didn't even matter, I was playing great,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if it was a change of mentality for me or if all it takes is one shot. I think for me, and I think for a lot of other amateur golfers that I talk to sometimes, you hit one good shot, it can turn your entire round right around. I remember playing with Ellie's sister Rosie's boyfriend, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
He had like a 50-plus on the front nine.
Classic.
Shot of like a 38. On the he said it was because on 9,
mm-hmm.
I hit one really good shot.
Yeah,
and it turned everything completely.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, so you've been there too. Yeah. And it's like, as an amateur golfer, and I've taken time to like think about this and digest it because the last two rounds I played in the last 2 weeks have not been good for me.
Yeah.
I'm taking time to like kind of step back and digest the fact that look, A, it's winter golf, so you want to get the bad rounds out now. B, I think this is a good time for me to take stock mentally about how to get out of these ruts.
Yeah.
Is it like I need one good shot, or is it something that just changed in my mental where I was like, I'm already playing terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I'm loosening up or everything like that.
I find that's the easiest way to loosen up is to have the lowest expectations possible. I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
Since you're more of the equipment guy of the two of us.
Sure.
What's the difference between regular and stiff?
Shaft?
Yeah.
So, regular shaft is, it's not really stiff, it's not really, you know, whippy at all, it's kind of the perfect medium, which is where most amateur golfers are going to be. Now, stiff shaft is for those that have higher swing speed, because if you have, like, for example, I think your future brother-in-law and my buddy Tom, I think he uses stiff shaft, because he's got a high swing speed, and when it comes to having regular stiffness or even... like not stiff like carbon fiber like I have. If your swing speed's too high, your club's gonna get real whippy and that ball's gonna go everywhere.
How do you tell? Does it say on the
Yeah, so it will depend.
Okay, I'm gonna get my club real
quick. Go get your clubs.
Because I have a proposition and a theory.
This is what happens when you're the equipment guy. You have to kind of just help all your friends with their golf clubs. But that's okay. That's what I'm here for. Those of you watching now, welcome. We are in the back half, almost the end of the episode. But we're going to post this video on the Instagram, and also the episode will still be in audio version on Spotify.
All right, is there a way to tell what this is?
Sure. Let me take a look.
So the reason I'm asking is...
Regular.
It is regular.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an R-Flex.
So the other reason I'm asking...
Unless TaylorMade's like, our R-Flex series is our stiffest series.
Because the other thing I did while I was at Disney, because I couldn't remember if I usually use regular or stiff, was I got stiff. So I was swinging the Sim 2s with stiff shafts. Stiff shafts? And it just felt so much better.
We could do some Googling, actually, about this specific shaft.
So I wasn't sure if that was maybe a difference.
Sure.
And why I was shooting better.
It could be. Let's take a look. So you have the Rocket Fuel...
So if I have a stiff shaft, that might help me be more accurate and swing better, is what you're saying?
It could be, because you do have a higher swing speed. You most certainly have a higher swing speed than me. I have the carbon fiber shaft because my swing speed isn't high, so I kind of need that extra whip at the end to help me with distance.
Okay.
I don't know why my swing speed is so low. It's probably because I don't move my lower body. That's on me, though.
Yeah.
But let's take a look.
Because so I felt like my distances were exactly where I thought they would be, and my accuracy was, like, way better than it usually is.
Which can happen. So the stiff models would have an S there. You have an R, so I'm assuming it's just regular flex.
So maybe I need to get stiff shafts then.
I'm thinking it wouldn't hurt, really. Like, have you ever thought about just going to a club fitting just for shits and giggles, like having no anticipation of purchasing clubs at all?
No, but then you kind of want to purchase them.
Yeah. I did it once at USA Golf in Limerick, and you know, you learn so much more about maybe the things that help benefit your golf game more. For example, that's when I found out that I should probably be using carbon fiber shafts, because the stiff shafts, it wasn't hurting me, but it wasn't helping me either. It was just kind of normal, and like my distances were pretty short because I don't use my lower body, so my distances are kind of short. So when I get that little extra whip from those types of shafts, it helps me get a little bit extra distance there. And plus, like, the I have the Callaway XR heads, and those are pretty forgiving pretty forgiving irons.
Yeah, Brian shoots
blades. I'm wearing blades.
He's a cool guy.
they're pretty forgiving irons anyways.
Okay.
So those two things together help my game better than having a regular or stiff shaft specifically would be. But for you, especially because you just came back from using stiff shafts and played well. Obviously, there could be the little added wrinkle of them being the Sim 2s, but I like where your head's at, and you're like, I think that the shaft could be beneficial. I'm thinking you might
want to
look into that.
I might want to. I'd be curious if it was at all possible to ever, like, be in that exact same situation with my regular ones and see if it felt different.
When you say that exact same situation, you mean at that exact same golf course?
Yeah, well...
Because that's going to happen.
Well, no, I know, but like with Gina and Abner, everything being exactly the same except for these, because my thing is, there were so many different factors
right.
that went into...
Having a good round that day,
that it's almost impossible to narrow it down to just possibly the shaft.
Could you imagine just, like, the stiffness of a golf club shaft just... brought you one of the best days. I'm having fun. And it's all because it's a stiff shaft.
And it's all because my shaft is no longer flammable.
Look, everybody knows it's a bad time when you have a floppy shaft. That's a fact.
No one wants a floppy shaft. It's gotta be stiff.
Please tell me Ellie's Uncle Ralph is not still watching this.
Oh, I hope he
is.
How do you tell?
It didn't say he left, and I'm just talking about floppy shafts.
It doesn't say when they leave.
I'm talking about
floppy. Oh, because Robbie's also in. What's up, Robbie?
Oh, no.
How do you tell who's in here?
They say join, and I think it's supposed to say when they leave.
Who's in here right now?
Well, look, I think we have two. One of them's you, so
one
I think
of
we only have
my phone here. Who's here right now? Comment real quick.
Somebody comment. Who's present? It's probably Gina. If I had to take, like,
I hope it's Uncle Ralph. I really hope it's Uncle Ralph.
Yeah, it's Gina.
Yeah.
Hey, he was here, though.
He didn't hear
about
my versus Flop.
Yeah, we got to have a whole shaft argument later if you want to. But
Unless you have any other golf news, buddy, that's going to wrap it up this episode.
QB shootout this weekend. Kiz and Kokrak are the defending champs, so maybe check it out if you really want to. Because other than that, we don't have anything until Century in January when we hit back to Hawaii. So if you want some PGA Tour golf, this is your last chance until the new year. Otherwise, we got the match coming up this weekend.
Match is going to be so cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Always keep your shafts stiff.
Always keep your shaft.
You never
actually don't always be shit. No, you always be stiff.
If your shaft gets floppy, just go to the gas station and get some pills.
That's so good. That's so good. That's a t-shirt waiting to happen. Hey, Southside Productions, we gotta talk about these shaft t-shirts, because there's multiple you could have. It's like, I like my shaft floppy. Like, you know, we could do that. That's a thing we could do.
Or just no one likes the floppy shaft.
Or no one likes a floppy shaft, and it's fine that way. All right, folks, as always, if you're watching this, obviously you already follow, and we thank you so much. But go ahead and tell your friends about us. Share our post for this episode, and then the video subsequent that's going to be coming. Post it on your story. Have your friends see it. Be like, hey, we know these cool guys at podcast. And they talk back to you if you follow them and DM them, because the DMs right now are dry. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter, too, at @FTT_pod. If you don't, please do, so that we can become unhinged on Twitter.
We can just talk about stiff shafts all day on Twitter. I think that's just what it's there for.
We could just attack Ashley Perez with stiff shafts.
Should I tweet at her and ask her how many pills Pat needs to take?
How stiff is Pat's shaft?
I guess. How many pills does Pat Perez need to take for you guys to have a good time?
We just want
to
become like an incredibly unhinged golf Twitter. So if you follow us, it'll let us be that. Let's live out our dreams, really. Especially Rick's dream, because there's nothing more that he likes to do than become unhinged anywhere at any time and create chaos. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, go ahead and follow us here on Instagram if you don't already and you just ended up finding us. Please go hit the follow button. Follow us on Twitter at @FTT_pod. And thank you so much for listening. We out!
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Keep your shafts stiff! How do you stop lives?
I think you just exit.
Is this where I look old? is this what old age is? Is it the X button? Is that?
Oh!